Can we start with an introduction to our listeners? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for lieutenant governor with Adam Edelin?
My name is Gil Holland, and if you had told me 4 months ago I'd be running for lieutenant governor, I would have thought you were crazy because it was never something on my bucket list of things to do. But I called Adam Edelin, and I said, man, you got to run for governor because this state is going backwards fast, and it's not even a left or right issue anymore. It's a forward and backward issue. You know, I was like, Adam is, you know, he did great work when he was the auditor. He's been in the private sector doing great stuff. We're both business guys. We need some problem solvers in Frankfurt to address these huge changes happening every day in the global economy and culture and technology. And I don't feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of Kentucky's economic base is kind of in a late 20th century, you know, manufacturing type, and we need to start addressing some of these serious challenges. So I called Adam. I was like, you got to run for governor. You're the only hope for the state. And then about 3 weeks later, he called me. He's like, so I am going to run. And I was like, hallelujah. And he's like, and I have a great idea. And asked me to run with him. And I think my first answer was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I said, plus my wife will never let me do that. And then I go home that night and I'm like, good news. And interesting news. Good news is Adam Edelin's running for governor. And she's like, great. And then the twist is that he wants me to run with him. And without missing a beat, she's like, wow, you guys would move the entire topic of conversation in the state. Like, you would really move the needle. She's like, you should actually think about that. And my first thought was like, who are you and what did you do with my wife? Because that was not an expected answer. So anyway, now I'm on the ticket. I'm excited to have, you know, 4.3 million bosses come January.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, so in Louisville, I'm kind of known as a community builder. So using real estate as building blocks, you know, I call myself an impact developer. So we try to take old buildings, take areas that have negative ripple effects, and fix up an old building and have a double benefit, double bottom line benefit by removing the negative ripple effect and having a positive ripple effect. So you get a 2x return on your investment. And then I work with a lot of nonprofits, church groups, the startup sector, the local food movement, and, you know, a lot of working with lots of neighbors. So we're all about family-owned businesses, local startups. We don't have any chains or, you know, national franchises in any of our properties. And it's really about most real estate developers, it's just about the ROI, right? The return on investment. And I always talk about the return on community because you can have both. So try not to lose money. Obviously, you know, we like making money for our investors, but we really also want to have that huge positive community benefit. And, you know, I invented the word Nulu. I don't know if you've been up to Louisville, but there's this part of town called Nulu, which was a very challenged area 15 years ago. And 10 years ago, we opened the Green Building, which is Kentucky's greenest commercial structure, about 72% self-sufficient. It's a 120-year-old building. And, you know, 10,000 people came through the first year just to see how a green building works. And so you learn. So I've learned a lot. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And now there's 13, you know, farm-to-table restaurants in Nulu. And there was like one place to get a sandwich 10 years ago when we opened the Green Building.
You talk about your background in building, and earlier you mentioned that you see Kentucky is moving backward. You're looking to move the needle. Can you unpack that a little bit? What do you see as moving backward in the state?
I feel like we're operating under an old economic development model, right? Let's see. Come to Kentucky. We don't really pay our workers very much. You don't have any environmental safeguards. You don't have to worry about your pollution. You don't have to worry about your worker safety on the job. So come here because it's really cheap. And I don't think that's an economic model that works for the 21st century. We need to have a great quality of place. So like one of my jobs as lieutenant governor will be to work with all the towns to really revitalize main streets across Kentucky so that we have a great quality place. Because the millennials of today, people can work from anywhere. As long as you have broadband, which is another thing we need to bring to, you know, every part of Kentucky. You know, broadband keeps folks relevant in the 21st century. As long as you have broadband, you can really work from anywhere. So, you know, I always joke, the first thing I did in Nulu was find a couple that wanted to open a coffee shop, which is called Please and Thank You, because I was like, you know, the entrepreneurs of today, they need caffeine and wireless. And that is all you need to start a business in today's world. So yeah, those are some of the things I'm focused on.
You and Adam Edelin are running in what appears to be a tough primary with Attorney General Andy Beshear, longtime legislator Rocky Adkins. What makes your campaign unique?
I will say, you know, we're friendly with those other candidates, and, you know, they had been calling me for campaign contributions, and I'd kind of been sending them to voicemail because I just don't think they can win. I think Rocky's great, but he's been in Frankfurt for so long that it's hard to run as a reformer. You know, and when we're dealing with pension crisis and all this forward-looking issues. And then Andy, you know, historically nobody's ever gone from the Attorney General's office right into the governor's mansion. And I just think it was too early. And he came into the race, in my opinion, too early. I think in today's challenging times, we need problem solvers. And Adam and I are both business guys. And, you know, if you think about what Adam's done in the last 3 years since he left his job as Kentucky State Auditor, he is building a $130 million solar farm, a renewable energy field on 700 acres of a mountaintop removal site, and it's going to put to work about 300 out-of-work coal miners. So if you think about bringing jobs to, you know, the forgotten places, Adam Edelin is the guy who has done that. So if you look at our campaign, we've only been in the race for 2 months, and we've already passed both the other candidates on Facebook and Twitter. We actually have more Twitter followers than both of them combined. So I think we have a good story to tell. There's a name ID challenge, obviously. Calendar's not our friend, per se. But I feel like the people paying attention realize that we're a very interesting and kind of fresh, new ideas candidate.
How will your campaign, or how is your campaign, reaching out beyond the Louisville-Lexington borders to Western Kentucky?
I'm here in Murray State. Go Racers. And my dad was born in Harlan County in Lynch. So, you know, Lynch is a town that had 10,000 people living there 80 years ago. And there's about 700 now. So obviously it's a big state, 120 counties, and we're trying to hit every one. You know, at one point I joked, I was like, I can't wait to go to Owsley County because Owsley's a family name in my wife's family. And the campaign manager was like, there's only 350 registered Democrats in Owsley County. And I'm like, I'm still going to Owsley County. So, yeah, we're trying to meet everybody and say hi to everybody and make sure people know what's going on. And again, there is something called social media, so people can, you know, we do these Ask Adam town halls. We were in Paducah a couple weeks ago, and, you know, 70 people came out to hear Adam speak, and 3,000 people watched on Facebook Live.
Should you and Edelin win the primary, how do you reach the moderates, the conservatives in Kentucky?
Again, this is the reason I think that Adam Edelin is going to be the next governor, because as the two business guys in the race— the moderate Republicans appreciate our approach to problem solving. And we have, we had a fundraiser 2 weeks ago. There were no Democrats in the room. It was all moderate Republicans who are very upset with the direction that this governor has taken things. You know, I feel like we can go toe-to-toe with, you know, Republicans on job creation, economic development, entrepreneurship, because that's what we do. And then Adam, with his history of fighting corruption in the auditor's office, can go toe-to-toe on corruption. I think we beat Bevin, maybe not in a landslide, but relatively easily. And I unfortunately think the other two Democrats in the primary don't beat Bevin at all.
Let's unpack some of the big issues that we've seen under the Bevin administration here. I'm sure a lot of listeners would be curious to know how an Edelin Holland administration would deal with pension reform.
Right. So obviously, you know, keeping pensions is not the best we can do. It's the least we can do. I do think there is a little bit of a hysteria, fear-mongering that's been created when the present administration doesn't really seem to believe in government at all. So they're trying to starve the beast, and I think there's a little more fear than reason. Obviously, like, you know, I don't have my mortgage 100% funded right now, but I know if I pay every month and, you know, pay in more than I take out, it will get to a healthy status. But, you know, we're talking about medical marijuana and other forms of bringing in new revenue, new jobs. If we had a renewable energy portfolio standard in this state, the fastest growing job sector in the country is solar energy builders. And those are great skilled jobs, $60,000 a year plus. We think we create 10,000 new jobs in Kentucky alone. Every government building can be a mini power plant. The economic justice issues of energy rates doubling every 10 years. The minimum wage isn't doubling every 10 years. So we think there's a lot of opportunities for new job and organic job growth that will bring in more revenue that then will help with some of these issues.
I just want to clarify, marijuana, solar energy, minimum wage increase, are these things that...
So livable wage, 100%. You know, I was with the head of the Chamber of Commerce in the Tri-Cities and, you know, out in the Corbin area, and he's like, you know, we don't have to have a $15 minimum wage if you do the math based on the MIT study, but we need to have $11 an hour minimum wage. And that's the livable wage in that part of the state. Obviously, $15 an hour might be more like the livable wage in Louisville. So I think, again, having a creative and flexible approach to how we get to livable wage. But, yeah, we got to stop incentivizing these out-of-state corporations to bring jobs that don't pay a livable wage and don't provide health care benefits, because then that ends up being a burden on the taxpayer.
And then marijuana and solar energy?
Yeah, so obviously solar, we have no, you know, there's an amazing story about Tesla last year, 2 years ago. Tesla's going to build a $1 billion battery plant. So I'm like, great, Kentucky is a manufacturing hub, man, we should get that plant. And Kentucky was not even in the four finalists. And then you think about it. The companies of today, every company is under a mandate to have a certain portfolio of renewable energy. We're not getting those companies. The Facebooks, Amazons, Netflix, they are not going to come to Kentucky based on our 1970s model of come here, don't pay our workers. And so we need to have renewable energy because that's how we're going to attract the 21st century CEOs. And then medical marijuana is just, you know, as you're fighting the opioid crisis, you got to have that. I would go even further, and I'm working on Adam on this. I just think this is one of those things that is such a big revenue generator. It's a huge cash crop that's not being taxed. There's a social justice issue with the percentage of African Americans who go to jail and, again, cause burdens to the taxpayer for minor possession. So we need to also decriminalize it is the reality.
Decriminalizing marijuana.
Small possession, yeah.
Yeah.
Murray State's done all this great work with hemp, right, and the hemp research. And, you know, marijuana is a cousin, and both those plants, you know, as long as they're not too close to each other.
Right.
Because the hemp plant actually makes the marijuana plant not as effective.
That's right. That's right. It could potentially cause some issues there. Public education, that's a big issue here on a Murray State campus and in a college town like this. I'm sure that it's similarly a large issue at other campus communities in the state. So what's the Edelin Holland administration's take on public education?
Obviously, the two biggest, you know, most important issues I would say facing America is healthcare and education. If you do not have an educated workforce, there is no hope in the modern economy. If you think about, you know, when I went to school, when Adam went to UK, you know, you could work your way through college, have a part-time job, maybe a little bit of scholarship, and basically graduate debt-free. Minimum wage has not doubled since then, but tuition has gone up almost 4x. So that's just a tax in another way, right? That's a tax on the future of our youth and our students, and that is the future of Kentucky. So we did the math, again, you know, numbers business guys, we did the math, and for $300 million, which is 3% of Kentucky's annual budget, more or less, we could provide 2 years of free post-high school education, whether it be community college, technical college, whatever, to every single Kentuckian. So we need to start figuring out ways to get that number accomplished. Because if you think, you know, education is expensive, try ignorance.
I'm looking at a lot of these issues that you've mentioned, broadband, improving main streets, decriminalizing marijuana, solar energy, minimum wage, free tuition. It begs the question, who pays for it?
Yeah, but again, 10,000 new jobs in the solar industry alone, that huge business. If we can, you know, tourism is our third biggest industry as a state. So Kentucky, one of the challenges with Kentucky is we are the top three, if not the top state, susceptible to jobs being lost to automation and artificial intelligence. Nobody's talking about the jobs 10 years from now, 40% of our entire workforce could be displaced, offshored, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, one of the only industries that is not susceptible to some foreign CEO's bottom line decision-making process is the tourism economy. It's the third biggest economy. I still think it is woefully under-leveraged as a state. We got all these people coming every year for the Derby, 180,000 people show up at Churchill Downs. They don't come to Murray. how do we get them to stay? How do we get them to come back? How do we really create a, you know, Kentucky's got one of the most authentic stories to tell of any state in the country, but we've been portrayed by Hollywood for 100 years in a certain way, and I would say it's negative stereotypes, and we have an amazing story to tell, and as people leave the coasts, which I think they're going to start leaving the coasts, whether it be climate change related or just, you know, price of real estate in places like San Francisco, you know, we need to tell the story of Kentucky that this is the place to come. We are an authentic, welcoming, inclusive, historic, pioneering, innovative state.
Governor Matt Bevin has been criticized for breaking tradition, not releasing his tax returns. You're notably not releasing yours. Why not? Doesn't it help build trust and transparency?
Yeah, so this was one of the first questions, you know, when Adam asked me to run, I said, well, what is the transparency disclosure? And, you know, a lot of people don't realize when you run as a candidate, you have to file a very detailed financial disclosure. So in my financial disclosure, I have every stock I own. I have all the buildings that we own. I have all the startups I've invested in. And the great thing is I could sell all those at any time if there's perceived to be a conflict. We don't take corporate PAC money. We're the only campaign that doesn't take corporate PAC money, and you can't give that back when you're in office. So I would argue that any conflict issues are right there for all to see, and I'll sell it tomorrow. It takes about an hour to sell a publicly traded stock.
You feel that satisfies the concern?
I do. And, you know, the reality is nobody's asking Mike Pence for his tax returns. You know, this is all related to Trump and Bevin. Nobody cares about the LG. This is, I would argue, you know, Andy Beshear trying to score a point. And I think the transparency is there.
The Kentucky Democratic Party has seen some setbacks lately, including in this region, flipping to Republican representation in the state House. Republicans are now looking to flip the Attorney General and Secretary of State seats in this year's election. So how do Kentucky Dems make a comeback?
Well, I think for a long time, and I think this is another differentiator with our campaign, we are talking about solutions. We are talking about new ideas. We have 9,000 words of content on our website, adamedlin.com. I feel like in the past, Democrats have just been against stuff. And you cannot run against something. You got to run for something. So we have our vision. You may not agree with everything we're aiming to do, but we are being very clear about what we want to do, and this is how we want to do it, and we want to bring everybody along for the ride. You know, I say vote with the E's: education, environment, economic development, entrepreneurship, empowering others, equity, equality, and everyone, because we want everyone to be uplifted.
I'm looking ahead to the general election. Governor Matt Bevin, the incumbent, will likely be the challenger. Should you and Edelin win the primary, how will you defeat Bevin?
Early on, when Matt Bevin, and I know Matt Bevin, you know, perfectly nice guy when he wants to be, I think that he ran as an economic development Republican, and a lot of the moderates thought that that's what he was going to focus on, because that's what Republicans always, you know, they say that they own economic development as a party, which I disagree with. And then, you know, if you look at this recent legislature session, you know, they passed four bills related to, you know, women's issues, and not one bill, unless it happens today, related to the pension. They did a couple of quote-unquote pro-business stuff early on, and right now he has a terrible relationship with the legislature, and he's turned more into kind of a moral warrior as opposed to a community builder, which is what we need.